Radio Devon now on 0808 100 1034.
Text 81333, starting your message with the word Devon.
Or email Janet at bbc.co.uk.
Children who are so seriously addicted to gaming and gambling can now get help on the NHS. The first specialist clinic in the UK has opened today for youngsters who are concerned they're spending too much time playing computer games or on betting websites. Claire Murdoch is the National Director for Mental Health Services at NHS England.
We'll be able to offer consultations on Skype because this is a national clinic. So for those who can't travel or can't travel as much as perhaps they would want to, we can cut down costs and inconvenience and increase access. So it'd be a whole range of specialist therapies as well as basic advice and practical support.
It's estimated as many as 55,000 11 to 16-year-olds in the UK have a gambling problem. Sam is in his 20s and reckons his gambling habit has cost him more than £100,000. He says he started going to betting shops with friends while he was still at school.
I'd always steal one of my dad's ties, one of his work ties, so I could take the school tie off and put this nice fancy one on. So it looked as though I was of age. And, you know, sometimes I would be able to put a bet on. So, you know, it was very much a social thing between friends early on the football. You know, sometimes on the fixed odd betting terminals, on the roulette and the blackjack.
The online gambling industry says there are strict rules in place to protect children, including restrictions on the content and targeting of adverts. And they say they've also agreed to contribute more money to fund treatment for problem gamblers. Is that enough in your mind? I want to hear your stories, whether they are to do with gambling or gaming and the addictive nature of both, or maybe gambling and gaming and the addictive nature of that. At what point has it got out of control? At what point has it stopped becoming fun and actually becomes a compulsion, an obsession, a sleep deprivation, a bank emptier? What has that path been like for you? And parents and grandparents, I'd love to know how you're managing or not to keep a lid on your kids and gaming and the amount of time they spend doing this. What games are they playing? What have you done? And actually, if you're listening and you play games yourselves, which ones? Is it indeed just a bit of fun, a way to relax, or has it become a problem? 0808 100 1034 81333. Put Devon at the start of your message. The email's janet@bbc.co.uk. I'm going to talk to Marcus True now. He's head of treatment at Broadway Lodge in Somerset, which is described itself as the first rehabilitation centre in the world to treat gaming addiction. Marcus, tell us about that. Is that true?
We do address gaming and gambling addiction in line with any other addiction, to be honest. Obviously, we've seen a rise of particularly gambling and now gaming over the last, 25, 30 years, particularly with the ease and access by mobile phone and computers to gambling and gaming. Mm. And so we saw some training and some of our counsellors trained in and specialised in this. However, addiction is addiction. And the impact on the addiction is addiction. And whilst this one I'd kind of class as a hidden illness, which, you know, people can do behind closed doors like any other addiction, society is only starting to recognise it a little bit more.
How bad does it get for some people? I obviously don't mention names, but can you give me some examples of both gambling and gaming? How many hours a day someone was playing? How much money people were getting through? What the consequences were?
Well, that's kind of really difficult to quantify because everybody is different in
but
terms
stories
of their addiction.
That you've
however,
heard.
But however, what does happen is people will lose their homes, their livelihoods, their jobs, their income, their emotional well-being drops. It's the same as any other addiction. But, you know, we have had instances of people losing hundreds of thousands. And that happens to, and that can happen to, you know, it doesn't, addiction doesn't discriminate. mate. So, you know, there are people that who at one stage have got loads of credit cards, are at college, at university, are doing really well, student loan, and then it increases and it increases, and before you know it, they're stealing money or using their family credit cards, using their parents and other people's stuff, being dishonest, and before you know it, they're lying, cheating, stealing, like any other addiction.
Yeah, until, whether it's drugs or alcohol.
Whether it's drugs or alcohol, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the other thing is it emotionally changes people.
In what way?
So, for example, what I've seen with gaming, for example, is people assume a persona. So when they go into their whatever field it is, they become somebody else, and that person is the person that they want to be. Whereas stepping out of their own, stepping out of that kind of false world into the real world, they go back to who they are, which, you know, they can have low self-esteem, low self-worth.
That's really interesting. So they're almost hooked on the other persona. I mean, people with drink and certainly drink problems, I've heard saying that, you know, they become more confident and that's the so it's becoming something you feel you're not. How you say you treat it the same, is it successful? Is your program successful?
That's kind of really. If we were to say, do we have successful outcomes? Do people complete treatment? Yes, they do. Mm-hmm. Do people go on to stop gambling eventually? When it gets painful enough, when they've lost enough, when they've been ostracised by society and they can't do that. Yeah. People will eventually stop, but you know it's very difficult to say. You know, is it successful? Yes, most people can come in and complete treatment, so we can get them through an 8-week, a 12-week, a 24-week program where we look at the impact that their addiction has had on themselves and others. And then after that, how do you measure success? Well, most people would say, you'd go back on games or gamble again. Well. Is that realistic? We'd hope that it would become fun for them. But just like any other addiction, with drinking, with substance abuse such as crack, heroin, or
total abstinence.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's what it has to be.
Yeah.
That's what it has to be. There can be no. Oh, I'll just have one game. I'll just put £1 in the machine and see how it goes because it starts off the craving, the obsession, and then we're off and running again. It's just like any other addiction, to be honest with you, but it's just very, very hidden from society at the moment.
How can we stop them getting into this in the first place? Because this didn't exist back along, did it? Now it's a really big part of many people's lives and a big part of society. I'm talking about the gaming a bit more than the gambling, because there's always been ways to gamble. But the gaming, which hooks people in and leads to them gambling in the end. And I know friends of mine who are parents. It's a really tough ride trying to limit the amount of time and monitor what your kids are doing regarding gaming.
Education and awareness.
Yeah.
That's really all you can do in very much the same way. I mean, funny enough, I've literally just come back from a school in North Somerset where we're talking to kids about the impact of gambling, gaming, drugs, alcohol. And the only thing you can do is give them education and awareness of what can happen if you do and where this will lead you if you don't take any precautions. And obviously there are some parental controls that need to be done. So for example, I mean, I've just come back from school and these are 14 and 15, and forgive me, I'm a little bit older, so I don't know what year, whether that's year 10 or year 9.
No, me neither.
I've got no idea. But these are 14 and 15-year-olds, and sometimes parents have to take some responsibility as well. But beyond that, it's, you know, society's changed. Lifestyles have changed. People communicate differently. Some of these games provide different ways of networking and communicating with people.
Yeah.
So in some respects, they can be healthy.
But then there's a line,
there's a line like any addiction. And once it's crossed, it's very, very difficult to come back because it changes the way that you feel.
If there are people listening, parents or people themselves who are gaming a lot, or kids, parents of kids who are gaming, they think it is a lot. Where is that line? When should people start to get worried? I know this is an almost impossible question, but I'm going to push you to try and answer it. What's the difference between enjoying a little bit of a flutter on the polls or whatever and a little bit of a game, and then what's the difference between that, when it's enjoyable and a bit of relaxation, to it becoming a problem?
Is that for me?
Yes, it is.
I would say this. Okay, so I remember my days on Call of Duty and Modern Warfare. I used to love those on the Xbox and the PS4. Now, I remember being in group battles for hours on end and becoming quite frustrated and quite angry and might swear a little bit at other people as I've got the headphones on. But it's when you see that people can't get off or just one more go.
Yeah.
When boundaries start to change, so, you know, say bedtime is at 10:30 and you're still on the machine at 1:30, we know we've got a problem, because we've moved the goalposts, we've moved the boundary slightly. When you start seeing people's attitudes start changing, their behaviour start changing, to
their emotional life,
the emotional well-being becomes less, so to speak. We've got some alarm bell. Then we've got some alarm bells ringing. You know, for example, your parents might come home and come in and already find that their little Johnny has come home from school early to get on the game, or he's been on it. He's been on it from his school finished at 3:30, and he's on it at 4:00, and by the time we get home at 6:00, he's still on it, and he doesn't want to come off of it. And you might start to think, whoa, there's some alarm bells here. And as for gambling, I mean, that's been there from day one, the fruit machines. It's now more easily and readily accessible through your phone. It's just a different form of having fun.
Thank you, Marcus. Been really interesting. Let's see what people bring forth about that with their own stories and phone calls. Thanks for joining us.
No worries.
All right. That's Marcus True from Broadway Lodge, which is a treatment centre in Somerset. Treats all sorts of addictions, amongst them gaming and gambling. 0808 100 1034. I am interested in that line. Crossing the line between it being fun and starting to be compulsive. You can talk about any form of gambling that you've been involved in or observed, maybe in a loved one, a relative, when it's become a problem. Don't have to give names, of course. We're happy that you be anonymous. Or parents with kids who are stuck on their Xboxes. 0808 100 1034. Have you noticed